Thank you, Ben. Well, good evening. My name's Damon, if I haven't met you before. Hey, why don't we all just stand up for a moment? If you like saying hello to people next to you, do that. If you don't, just stare at the ceiling or something and stretch your legs. All right. As the parents head back in, grab your seats. We're in our Jesus Said series, and we're looking at the one verse, actually, John 10, verse 10. What is our only comfort in life and in death? Well, imagine if there was just one thing you needed in life and in death to get you through. Well, Christians, we've got him. His name's Jesus. As the old catechism question says, what is my one comfort in life and in death? That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Our message today in this verse is really pretty simple. Jesus alone can offer eternal security and the abundant life. Jesus alone can offer eternal security and the abundant life. All other offers of salvation or security or satisfaction outside of Jesus are lies and theft, leading to destruction and death. See, there are many thieves in the world, but only one good shepherd. Many who offer security and safety and abundance now, but only one who can deliver for eternity. See, the way to the fullest life is not through health, wealth, prosperity, but through Jesus, who alone can give us eternal safety and eternal provision. And more than that, he can recenter us and our lives in the purposes of God for our few mortal days on earth. So let me pray for us, and then we're just going to look really simply at who are these thieves, what is the life Jesus gives, and what are the spiritual thieves that take away from our life in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to your word. We ask for your help. If we are tired, please bring energy to our minds and bodies. Where we are weary, refresh us. Where we need challenge, rebuke, and exhort us onwards. Open our eyes to the goodness of Jesus and also to the deceptions around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So thieves, what do thieves do? They steal stuff. They take what doesn't belong to them. And they take what other people have worked for, right? So they enrich themselves at the expense of others. Sometimes they do it secretly, like in the night. Other times, con men try and weasel their way into your home through your front door or to your wallet. Or maybe someone rings you on the phone. It's your long-lost uncle in Nigeria. And all he needs is your credit card details. And those long-lost millions are going to be deposited tomorrow. Now, usually thieves will break stuff, for example, your window, or threaten to break people to get to your stuff, and sometimes they will kill and destroy. Sometimes they're really organized, like Christmas 2020, when my parents' house, they sent a lackey in first to rip off all the security cameras, and then the car was going to rock up with the load of dudes, and then they were just going to ransack the house, but thankfully, the courageous grandma next door popped her head over and said, "What are you doing?" The police came and that foiled the plans. The group eventually got caught, actually. They were like casing the whole area and just doing houses in one by one. Or sometimes the thief is just plain hungry. Proverbs 6:30-31 says, "Men do not despise a thief if he steals, to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. Don't despise him, but if he's caught, too bad. In fact, there are enough thieves in the early church that Paul could write to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 28. He says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. As in, you used to be a taker. You used to use others' hard work for your benefit. Now that you've met Jesus and been forgiven, you need to work hard so that you can be a generous giver to others. See the transformation from taker to giver. And when we get to John 10, verse 10, though, Jesus is calling out a different sort of thief. And it's actually the worst sort of organized crime. Who are these thieves? Well, they're actually a cartel of religious leaders in Israel called the Pharisees. And they're stealing people away from Jesus, and they're trying to steal glory for themselves by acting as the gatekeepers between the people and God. And they care just about their own positions, their prestige, power, and honor, which alone belongs to Jesus. They burden people with laws that God never gave. They steal their joy, they kill their faith, and ultimately destroy people's souls. So where we are in John, in this verse, jumping back in terms of context, in the previous chapter, Jesus has just healed a man who was born blind. So let's just think about that for a moment. Not someone who became blind and he restored sight. No, no. This guy was born without vision. And when he meets Jesus, Jesus heals him. He restores his sight. I mean, just think, well, what had to happen in his brain and the synapses, and not just to his eyeball, but the nerves and the brain and his body and his balance and his understanding and perceptions? This guy's just had this is amazing. This is amazing. It's a wonder, a complete and total miracle. And the religious leaders, when they hear about it, instead of rejoicing, they're angry. See, they're jealous. Instead of welcoming this healed man back into the community, this restored man back into the community with awe of God's power, they kick him out because he dared to tell them that Jesus must be from God. Hello, he just healed me. That's kind of a God thing. And by the end of the chapter 9 of John's gospel, the irony is that the blind man's sight becomes so clear that he falls down at Jesus' feet and he worships him as God. He sees clearly. While the religious leaders who claim to see, they get more and more blind. They supposedly know their Bibles, but then when the very God they proclaim to know rocks up, they can't even recognize him. More than that, they try to turn people's attention away from Jesus. They steal the glory that should be his and also try to block people from finding life in him. And that's the worst sort of theft, death, and destruction. And to prove Jesus' point, this religious cartel will come in the dark of night in the not-so-distant future to this passage, where they'll arrest Jesus and steal him away from his disciples. They'll take the light of the world, the light of all people, and they'll kill him on a Roman cross, and then they'll seek to destroy his band of followers, the church. They are thieves, murderers, destroyers. Jesus was not joking. He called them as they are. And by the way, if you want to have like true courage, you tell people who have power over you what they actually are. You know, you tell your brother or your sister what you actually think of them or whatever. You know, but you tell someone with power over you, well, that's what Jesus did, and they killed him, right? He had courage. So that's a little bit about the thieves. What about this life that Jesus says? So the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. See, in contrast to these religious leaders who were takers, Jesus comes and offers something else. He offers something that no one else can give: life. That is, Jesus has in his possession, or rather he is in his very person, the true life of all life. He is the source, the fountain, the author, the creator of life. And if you come to him, he will give you what no other person can possibly give. And you could never hope to earn: life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And what sort of life is this? It's John 3:16, eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is, I will give you salvation life. I'll give you forgiven from sin life. I'll free you from your debt life. I'll release you from the eternal judgment of God life. And more than that, I'll give you John 17 verse 3, knowing God life. In John 17 verse 3, Jesus says this. He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Get that? This is eternal life, knowing God. Being in relationship with God, that is life. And this is the good news of the gospel. You don't have to try and get yourself clean to get to God. You can just come to Jesus and he makes you clean. It's called grace. And there are many who have claimed to give what only Jesus can give, but only Jesus comes through with the goods. In John 10 verse 11, the next verse, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then in verse 18, he says, "No one takes it from me." That is my life. "I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again, because I am life." Now, this sort of life that Jesus offers, see, we all want to be protected from what can possibly destroy us, don't we? But we were made for more than just safety. We want life. Life. Not just mere living, but abundant life. Overflowing life. Deep life. Weighty life. Joyful life. Not just surviving, but thriving. And Jesus can give that life. Protection and plenty, solid safety and deep soul satisfaction. See, abundant life is not about having an abundance of stuff. It's about having peace, having joy, having God in your life. Jesus offers life to the full, free from sin. Life to the full, forgiven. Life to the full, eternally pardoned, delivered from the death penalty, in right standing with God. Jesus gives us spiritual life, an ever-increasing knowledge and love of God, and ever-increasing fruitfulness, fruit of the Spirit, good works to the glory of God. And Jesus alone is the gatekeeper to God and life. You don't need a Pharisee. You don't need a priest or some other prophet. Jesus is it. And Jesus wants to infuse our lives with heavenly energy, direction, purpose, Godward worship and devotion, and other-centered service, and a desire to praise God and make Jesus known to the nations. That sort of life, life to the full. And maybe a bunch of us are wondering, that sounds good, Damon, but why am I not experiencing that life? Or put differently, what are the thieves to this full life with Jesus in my life? And that's where I want to sort of spend a bit of time thinking before we finish off. Now, look, the simple answer we could all say is, oh, it's sin and distraction, and we know that. Mortality, fallen nature, all that stuff going on, the now but not yet, and that is all true. But why do we go to those things rather than Jesus? And look, I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. I'm going to try and stay on the tracks of my notes, because we could go here for a long time. Look, thieves often come in the dark, don't they? To exploit vulnerabilities to get at our stuff. They exploit vulnerabilities to get at our stuff. And spiritual thieves exploit human vulnerabilities to break into our dark places to get at our hearts and souls. I'll unpack that, but I'll say that again. Look, the spiritual thieves in our lives, not just talking about people, but stuff and things and our own desires, exploit our own vulnerabilities to break into our dark places to get at our hearts and souls. See, life is uncertain, isn't it? Life is filled with suffering. Bad things happen. Tragedy happens. We are mortal. And then we die. And I'll finish there. Have a nice night. No. Not just that, but you know, we are unsatisfied, often depressed and anxious. We're lonelier than we could ever admit. We are oppressed. We never feel like we have enough. We're one crisis away from going over the edge. And we long for safety and security. We long for peace and plenty, or at least a little bit of a buffer, an insurance policy if things do go wrong. And then we feel guilty about it because really we should just trust Jesus, you know? And that was just me yesterday. I don't know about you. And see, into our weaknesses, our fears, our desires and our guilt comes all sorts of compelling propositions, offering safety, security, abundance, a sort of self-righteousness in the now. But friends, there's no bomb shelter deep enough you can build. There's no great reset clever enough. There's no climate action thorough enough. There's no self-sustaining lifestyle block fertile enough. No money system decentralized enough. No scientific discovery profound enough which can insulate you forever from suffering or tragedy, which can forever defy mortality or protect you from death. And this is the cold, hard reality of life. And we try and fill all this stuff around us, acting as if that's not true. And worse, this world is filled with con men, charlatans and thieves who say otherwise. And they're animated by a beastly power, alluring us to create lives and a new world without Jesus at the center of it. A new creation without the Creator. A kingdom without the King. Social justice without the Justifier. A great reset without the great Redeemer. Healing without the Healer. Life without Him who is life. And you know, one of the world's biggest companies, which we use to search for stuff on the internet, and I won't say their name because it will hear me, starts with G, ends in E, has two O's in the middle, that they've invested in this project, quote, to solve the problem of aging, to eradicate the problem of death, or in other words, to find a way to live forever apart from God. That's called hell, by the way. Gee, wouldn't that be a terrific irony if we worked it out and God rocked up and left people to it? There you go, enjoy. Do you know what, the portal into our lives of so many of these lies and the entry point for thieves into our lives is? It's this little thing for those online. It's our phone. See, we were made to be connected to God 24/7. As it is, we're connected to the World Wide Web and the internet. And by the way, what do webs and nets do? Ever thought about that? They catch prey. And guess what? You're all hooked. See, smartphones with their shiny screens and millions of apps are intentionally designed to steal your attention and keep your focus. Sean Parker, the first president of Facebook, admitted, he said, "How do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible? We give you little dopamine hits every once in a while, a like or a comment on your photo. We are exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology." like a lure on a line, they just want to get us hooked. Do you know the average iPhone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day? Don't worry, Android people, it's probably only 2,500 for us. Now, imagine if we touched base with God a tenth of that a day, 2,600 times with God. What about this? The average male, before they turn 21, spends 10,000 hours on video games. Wow. Do you know how many hours it takes to master something? 10,000 hours, yeah. I mean, what if you spent half of that doing push-ups and running and helping other people and learning new skills and memorizing the Bible? Gee whiz, you'd be a fit, very smart, godly person. See, into our vulnerability and desires warped by sin, we have these alternate salvation messages coming at us. And we have this counterfeit form of ever-present connection, offering half-truths about our problems and half-baked solutions to them. As the writer Mark Twain once quipped, he said, "A lie travels halfway around the world while the truth is still getting its pants on." See, lies are quick and compelling. And then there's Jesus, the truth teller. And he tells us what we really don't want to hear about our moral corruption and the judgment to come. But then he offers such a salvation and transformation and a compelling vision for the future that it seems too good to be true. Suffering in this life? Jesus would say, "Yeah, too right. In fact, you come and follow me and I can guarantee you will suffer. But that's my Father's path to transformation and glory, and I'll be with you. Are you guilty? You are more guilty and filthy than you can even imagine or ever clean up. But I can give you forgiveness and wash away your deepest stains. Are you lonely? Well, you aren't just cut off from people. You were cut off from the being above all other beings. But come follow me and I'll give you my Spirit who will never leave you. I'll reconcile you to my Father and we'll be closer to you now than you can understand. And into eternity, you'll live in my house and never have to leave. And I'll give you numerous brothers and sisters in my church. Will you die? Yes, and maybe very painfully. But follow me and I will give you an eternal life that will never die. I will walk with you and give you grace through the valley of the shadow of death, and then bring you into that life beyond the grave, a world without pain, suffering, tears, or death. What's the path to happiness and joy in the full life? Well, Jesus would say it's not finding the right career or life partner or house or location or whatever it is. It's actually the way of the cross. By giving up your flimsy, mortal, short life for Jesus and the gospel, you will find that life that is truly life, filled with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus at the center, and a love which will flow into and through you and out to others. And Jesus might say this, he'd say, "A full life like mine, where at age 33, they'll hang me up and crucify me. But this will be me laying down my life for the whole world, to give you the security and abundance you could never achieve and no one else could ever give to you. And I'll prove that I can give this life because as I lay it down, I'll take it up again. And I do that for you because I love you. So come, trust and follow me. I give life and life to the full. Even to religious thieves, killers and destroyers. Like a Pharisee who was named Saul, who we know as Paul, if they turn to Jesus, they can be saved into this true life." How's that? Not only does Jesus offer to save us from the thieves, killers, and destroyers, he even offers to save the thieves, killers, and destroyers from themselves if they will repent. So how do we stop the thieves stealing, killing, and destroying us? Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Rely on him, submit to him, turn towards him 2,618 times a day. Touch his word and reach out to God in prayer often. Paul said in Galatians, he said, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That's Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Look, there's much more that could be said, but I just want to finish on, I actually had three, but I reckon I'm going to add a fourth practical point. My first point, wake up. Wake the heck up. This world is not neutral, okay? There are thieves, killers, and destroyers everywhere who want to steal your attention, kill your faith, and destroy your soul. This is not a game. You've got one life to live. It will soon be past. You're destined to die once, and after that, the judgment. There are thieves, killers, and destroyers everywhere. In the very least, they want to inhibit you from living in the full life Jesus offers. Wake up. This world is not neutral. The things coming through this are not neutral. There's agendas and things going on, and they're not centered around Jesus. Okay, that's point one, wake up. Two, look up. Look up. Seek God. You were made to walk with God. You were made for relationship with God. Therefore, make your devices and technology serve you. This thing is below us. It's not above us. It's not our master. It's meant to be a servant. Make it serve you. Okay? Make it serve you, not the other way around. See, the habits we live by, what we do with our time and attention, it actually forms us. It tells our hearts what we prioritize. Now, some tips I've found helpful for in regards to gaining control of your devices. I mean, you might want to listen to this again. I'll go through them quickly. Turn off all notifications, all of them. Remove all social media and put it on your computer if you have to use it. Put your screen into black and white mode. No joke, I did it. Look, it's black and white. It does something to your brain, which makes your phone less pleasurable to look at and therefore less addictive. Parent your phone. That is, if your kids go to bed at 7 or 8 o'clock, so does your phone. Treat it like a cheeky little kid at best. No more drinks. Keep your phone out of your bedroom. Use a watch or an old-fashioned alarm clock. Let God's word be the first word you encounter each day and the last you listen to before you sleep. Practice digital Sabbaths, where you turn it off for a whole day, maybe the day you go to church. Read a book on the toilet rather than scanning your news feed. Try going out without your phone. Redirect and reorient your attention and thinking towards Jesus. Every time you think about touching your phone, go, no, I want to touch you. I want to touch you, God. You know you want to. Look up. Three, invest wisely. Make a deliberate choice to invest time, energy, and resources for Jesus and the gospel. E.g., in 2023, you could work out how to take 2 days off of your usual work to become an intern of the church. Oh no, I have a vested interest in this one. And do our training program to be better equipped, grow as a disciple, know God more, all in community with others. And I can almost guarantee that you will grow in the full life of Jesus in ways that right now you can't imagine, but when you look back, you'll be so grateful you did. Friends, what's the point of gaining the whole world yet forfeiting your soul? Jesus would give you the life that is truly life, which will pay dividends into eternity. Invest wisely. In my last minute, point four, throw yourself into the mission of God. There is an adventure to be had following Jesus into all the world, which includes Albany and includes the nations. You can give yourself to the mission of God to save the humans. I didn't write anything else for that, so that's all I'm going to say. Invest yourself in the mission of God. Wake up, look up, invest wisely, throw yourself into the mission of God. And watch what happens as you position your mind, heart, time, and life to grow in the life offered by the Good Shepherd. What is our one comfort in life and in death? That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Musos, you can come up and let's pray. Father, we are called out by your word. We acknowledge our fallenness and our weaknesses. We acknowledge we run to things that we are just never going to satisfy, never give us the security which you alone can give. We try and defy mortality and try and get around suffering. We think if we just rub your belly the right way, then you'll bless us, not realizing you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in your Son. And Father, we pray that you would fill our weakness with your grace and strength, that you would help us to grow into this life that is truly life that your Son gives us. And Father, if there are people here who don't know this life, I pray that you would open their eyes and hearts to receive Christ as King. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. And we thank you for your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, we're going to have communion shortly, but first we're going to have a song. Are we doing Rescuer?
Yep.
Yep. So please stand as we sing Rescuer.